All right. Vosai. Okay, first of all, Yashakok to everybody coming. It's really beautiful. We had some requests to do this every night. So, let's see. All right. So, today's daf is... today's daf is Chof Hey. So, we left off... Omer Rabba, I believe, right? Fine. So, Vosai, again, remember, the Mishnah spoke about the idea that if one said, I can't see, but I give rachamecha, Mishaskin also, a person says that on the wings of birds, Sachdash Baruch, whose mercy should come. So Mishaskin, we quiet him down. So remember, we have two different opinions in the Gemara as to why exactly that is. One said, because again, Lemaisa, it makes Sachdash Baruch, whose rules into rachamim, when in fact they're only gzeros. And the other opinion says, because ultimately, again, you're going ahead and creating animosity or creating jealousy between the creations. So, ahu dinochis kame de rabo. There was an individual who came and was davening for the Amid in front of Rabbo. Amar, and he said, ato chastal kan sipor, ato chus v'rachim aleinu. And the Baal Tfilah said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have had mercy on the bird's nest. You too should have mercy on us. Ato chasta al osove espino. Remember that zalacha that says osove espino lo sishchatu biyom echad. You may not go ahead and shech the mother and this child on one day. So Yaakovish Baruch Hu have had rachamim on the mother and on the child. Ato chus v'rachim alinu, have compassion on us. Amar Rabba. So Rabba said, kama yoda hay mirabon l'ratzu l'mare. How much this rabbinical student, this Tam Tchachem, knows how to praise his master. And Rabba said, again, so here you have this individual going ahead and saying, it's so beautiful. You have compassion on the birds, you should have compassion on us. Rabbah is complimenting him. Amar li Abaye, Abaye, so what are you talking about? V'hamishaskin also tanan. But we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody says this, we actively silence them. To which the Gemara is very interesting. Rabbah knew that. What he was trying to do was he was trying to sharpen Abaye, meaning he wanted to make sure that Abaye was on his toes. So Rabbah did not actually compliment him. Rabbah just complimented him to Abaye and wanted to see if Abaye would pick up on what the real halacha was. There was an individual who came, we'll say, Dinochis Kameh is a lotion of coming to Davin for the Yom. There was an individual coming came down for the Yom for Rabbi Chanina. Omar, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vahanora, Haodir, Vahachazik, Vahamitz. So he, mamish. So what happens? He's going ahead, he's davening, and in his repetition, he adds in all of these other accolades, all these other adjectives. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Kel, he's the God, the Godol, great, Gibor, strong, Nora, awesome, Adir, wonderful, Chazak, strong, Amitz. These are all synonymous terms, all meaning strong, great. Amarlei, supposed to listen to this. Remember, Rabbi Chanina says to him, Siam tinhu l'shvachei demarach. Is that it? Is that it? Meaning, again, do you think you've covered everything? Now, obviously, I will say, again, this obviously was said in a cynical fashion. Hashta, hani talasa ilav de kasvinhu Moshe ba'araisa. Va'asu kines sakdol v'takninhu anon lo amrina lehu. I will say, again, remember, what do we say in Shemona Esrei? We say, hakel, which is not counted as one, gadol, gibor, nora. So where do we get those three from? Those three were said by Moshe Rabbeinu, and because Moshe Rabbeinu said them, Anshei Knesset Gedolim, men of the great assembly, went ahead and what? Went ahead and instituted them as part of Tefillah. But had Moshe Rabbeinu not said them, we would not have come up with these on our own. Va'at amrit kulehai, and you're saying all of these praises. Mashal la'adam. This can be compared to an individual. Shahayalo. Alfei alofim dinarizav. The most of this can be compared to an individual who was fabulously wealthy. He had tens of thousands of pieces of gold. V'hayim mekalsin also be'elef dinari keses. The most if you have someone who's amazingly wealthy, right? It's like lahavdil. You know, if somebody's a billionaire and you call them a millionaire, right? I mean, I hate it when people do that. it doesn't even make any kind of sense. So to go ahead, he says, Osa dinar kesef lo ginai hulo. Is that not ultimately, again, it's a ginai, it's like a degradation. You're diminishing the person. So this says Rabbi Chanina, so Rabbi Chanina says, listen, we only use the praises that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu, but once you start adding on, in fact, in your effort to add on, you really end up diminishing the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ginai Hulo. Amar Rabbi Chanina, HaKol Mitzvah again. So now once we call Rabbi Chanina, we're going to quote another teaching from Rabbi Chanina. Amar Rabbi Chanina, very important Gemara, HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mi Yirah Shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, with the exception of fear of heaven. I've said before, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, he says that Yira doesn't mean fear. He says Yira means reverence or awe. He says, why? What's the pshat? He says, because fear is an emotion that places a distance between two beings or two entities. I fear fire, so by definition, I want to keep my distance from fire. So our whole job in life is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to have a distance. So therefore, the Rebbe says that really Yira means awe and reverence. When you awe and revere something, you feel you put it on a pedestal. So I know I can't put my arm around it. I can't give it a hug. I can't give it a kiss. But at the same time, again, I want to be as close to it as possible. So Rabbi Hanina says, everything is in the hands of Shamayim except for Yira Shamayim. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'yato Yisrael Ma'ashem Alokecha Sholem Imach. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of you? Ki'im li'yira, except to fear him, michla, or to revere him, michlal. So we'll say. So therefore, again, so the first point the Gemara makes is that lemaisi. What do you see from here? That Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of you? Or in other words, God controls everything. There's only one thing that God does not control, and that's what? That's your level of Yira Shamayim. That's the one thing that you are responsible for. The Gemara Masechas Sota goes into greater detail with this, in terms of what exactly it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls. But Lamaisa, again, the only thing that God asks of us is to forge the nature and quality of our relationship with Him. To which the Gemara says, but you know, when you say this, when you say this, Michlal Diyar Milsa Zutrasihi, you make it sound like Yira Shamayim is no big deal. Right? That Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you know, what does God ask of you except to have Yira Hashem? Really, that's it? We spend our lives trying to do that, and some of us are successful, some of us are not. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu go ahead and relegate it to such a small thing? To which the Gemara says, in Legabe Moshe Rabbeinu Milsa Zutrasihi. Yeah, you know what it is? For Moshe Rabbeinu, from Moshe's perspective, it was a small thing. Now, we'll say, obviously, kasha on this is, that's very nice, but Moshe Rabbeinu is not talking to himself. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Klal Yisrael. So the Ben Yoyod explains, he says very beautifully, is that the pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu possessed clarity in life. And when you have Moshe Rabbeinu-like clarity, then yes, then I realize, the fact is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of everything. So if you think about it, right, I can't cause my heart to beat, I can't cause my blood to flow, I can't cause my eyes to function, my brain to function. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of all the major things in life. The one thing He asks of us is Yira Shamayim. The difference is that most of us don't have the clarity to understand that. Moshe Rabbeinu had the clarity of vision to understand this. Says to Klal Yisrael, you have to think about this logically. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us is one thing. Everything else He takes care of. Mashallah Adam, Shemavakshim Erech Le'Gadol. This can be compared to a person whom they ask, you request from him a large utensil, the yeshlo, and he has it, doma alav kekli katan. Then it's only like, then, again, I will say, in other words, if you ask somebody to borrow something, and they have that item that you are asking them to borrow, the item itself, again, is considered to be like a normative item. On the other hand, kli katan ve'enlo, doma alav kekli gadol. I will say, in other words, if you possess something, then to go ahead and dispense it to others is easy, no problem. If you need to dispense something but you don't have it, then even the smallest thing becomes like a big thing. So for Moshe Rabbeinu, again, where Yir Shemaim was in plenty, where it was plentiful, so for him to say to Klal Yisrael, what does Kadosh Baruch Hu ask of you except for Yir Shemaim? That was easy. For those of us who perhaps struggle with Yir Shemaim, it sounds like an incredible request or an incredible obligation. So the Gemara goes weiter. I'm Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says, Omer Shema Shema, Ki Omer Modim Modim. If somebody says Shema Shema, it's as if he said Modim Modim. The Rabbi says, now what does this mean? So it sounds like literally if a person is repeating Shema twice, it's as if a person said Modim Modim. Remember we saw in Mishnah, what's the halachot Modim Modim? If you say Modim, Meshaskin also, we silence the individual. So Gemara says, Meisvei. If somebody read Shema and then repeated it, hareze maguna. So this is something that's not nice. Rabbi says, actually, maguna literally means disgusting. Saying disgusting. However, again, magunahi, magunahu dahavi. We see, what does the Bray say? It's disgusting. Shetuke lo mishaktinon. But yet, what? It doesn't say that we silence him. To which the Rabbi says, so the kasha is it maguna? Is it something disgusting? Or is something we silence him? Lo kasha, not a contradiction. Had amra milsa vitani la. Had the Amar Psuka Psuka Vitani La. Bosai, it depends. Everything depends on what you look at Rashi. Amar milsa milsa v'tani la, kol teva omer v'shone, ein kan mashmos shtei reshuyos, ela maguna v'seichahu. Bosai, interestingly enough, if you repeat every single word, so meaning I say, Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael, Hashem, so on and so forth, so that's nonsensical. So Rashi actually points out, that's maguna, it's not the nice way to daven. V'sachahu, we see a person like that as a fool. Meaning, there's no connotation that a person may be davening to another deity. On the other hand, hadamra psuka psuka. If Rabosa, you say full sentences and then what? You repeat those full sentences, then it could look like what? You're actually davening to another entity, and in that's the case in when Meshaskin also. So if you just repeat literally every single word, that's Meguna. It's just not nice. It's not a nice way to daven. It looks foolish. It looks stupid. But again, it doesn't pose a theological issue. But if you're repeating each pasuk, then Lemaisa, that poses a theological issue, and Meshaskin also. We silence him. Amalei Rapapa L'Rava. This is just such an amazing Gemara. So Rabbi said to Rabbi, but one second, maybe the reason why the individual is repeating, even the psukim, is why, because I didn't have kavana the first time, right? Maybe I said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I didn't have kavana the first time, so I'm repeating it a second time. Maybe that's why I'm repeating it, not because I'm acknowledging another deity. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. Vahashta, kevan daite, ekivein daite. And now when I repeat it the second time, I'm trying to have kavana. So we'll say, listen to this. Rava says, Amalei, chavrusa klape shemaya. Do you think God is your buddy? Right? Do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your chavrusa? Is he your study mate? Rashi says, chavrusa klape shemaya, v'chi kaminan chaveir anoyim b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu ledabar lefanav shlobim iskaving, v'chozu umarlo b'koflo shlokivim mirishona. Do you think God is your friend that you could just talk without thinking beforehand? I mean, you shouldn't talk to your friends without thinking beforehand either. But again, do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your friend that you could just speak without thinking about what it is that you're saying? Ilo mechaving daitei. This is very interesting. So Rava said, you know what? If you don't have kavana, I'll hit him over the head with a blacksmith's hammer until you have kavana. Right? You should try that one at home. Right? That's good. Never had a problem with kavana again.
Hurt myself.
Yeah. 100%. So see, you hear the chab. The chab that he's saying over here is no. It doesn't work that way. You know, again, if you don't have kavana, then don't say it. You mostly have to understand something. In the purest form of tefillah, literally the halacha says that if you don't have kavana, don't daven. It's only nowadays the Mishnah Berurah says that if we were to go with that approach, then what would happen?
We'd never.
It's clear, right? So again, we would never daven. So that's why Lemaisa, again, to a certain degree, kavana has taken a major hit over the years, and so we make do with what we can do. But Lemaisa, again, Lemaisa. From the Gemara's perspective, you don't have kavana, don't daven, or wait down until you do have kavana. Hamechana baras mishaskin also. Rabbi say, if somebody explains the forbidden relationships in the Torah in a euphemistic fashion, meaning a person says the Torah is not literally prohibiting immorality, but rather these laws are coming, going ahead and what? These laws are a euphemism for something else. The Gemara says, Tana of Yosef, kolon aviv o kolon imo. So we'll say, the example the Gemara gives over here is, for example, the Torah says, ervas avicha ve'ervas imecha lo sigale. Do not reveal the nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother. And I will say, Torah is literally telling you that there is a prohibition of incest. And if you violate the laws of incest, lemaisa again, you can be chayiv kares. So let's say a person says, Torah is not coming to teach us about incest. Who is going to engage in incest? I need the Torah to tell me that. That's obvious. Rather, what it means is what? This is a good one, actually. Don't reveal the secrets you hear at home. Erva savicha refers to some of the things your father says in the house that perhaps he says in the house, and it's just not for public dissemination. Ervas imecha refers to the things that your mother says that you are not for public consumption. So if a person says, oh, that's what the pasuk means, we'll say, then that's problematic. Because lemaisa, again, what a person is doing is misinterpreting the pasuk. The Gemara goes weiter. Ha'omer mizarachalo sitein lahavir lemolech. If I remember again, most of the last case in the Mishnah was that in the pasuk that says, "You shall not give over your offspring to Molech." So, if a person interprets that to mean that what one should not father a child with an Aramean woman, because fathering a child with a non-Jewish woman is tantamount to giving over that child to idolatry. So that's a misinterpretation of that pasuk. So they taught in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, "Beisrael haba alakusis veholid mimena ben lavodazar kasam etgaber." That if somebody were to say that the pasuk is referring to a Jewish man who has relations with a non-Jewish woman, has a child, the general assumption is that children tend to follow their mother more, and especially in this kind of case, the child is not Jewish. So that's like you're giving over a child to Avodah Zarah. So if one interprets the pasuk in that way, which is an erroneous interpretation, Mishaskino, so we silence them, says the Mishnah. Both said the episode with Reuven is read, but is not translated. And I will say, understand that in the Mishnah's model, so you have a Turgamon. So you have a translator who's there going ahead and translating the Psukim. So there are certain things that the Mishnah is going to say is we read, but we don't translate them. Why? Because in order to give proper translation, you'd have to give a lot of background. And remember, the Turgamon really gave pretty much just a straight translation of the Psukim, with maybe peppering it with a little bit of explanation. But there are some things that require a lot of explanation. So we'll say, what's the Maisa of Reuven? The Maisa of Reuven, Rashi says over here, is Vayishkav es Bilha Pilegesh Aviv. So if you remember, again, the Torah speaks about the fact that says that Reuven slept with Bilha, the concubine of his father. But again, remember, Rashi HaKadosh quotes the Gemara, Torah Shabbat Peh, that says, what happened? When, after, again, Rachel Imenu died, so Reuven moved his father's bed into Leah's tent, after it was again in Bilhah's tent. So therefore, again, the Torah treats that transgression as a very serious transgression, as if Reuven had slept with his father's concubine. And therefore, we read it, but we don't translate it. Ma'aseh Tamar, Nikra Umetargim. The episode with Tamar, Abosai, which is again, remember, when Tamar, who is a daughter-in-law of Yehuda, who is married to two of Yehuda's sons, dies, and then she dresses up as a harlot, and ultimately becomes pregnant by Yehuda. Nikra Umetargim. Interestingly enough, it's read and it's translated. Maisa Egel Harishon, Nikro Metargim. Now, what they call Maisa Egel Harishon is the actual story of the creation of the Egel, of the golden calf, that is read and translated. Vahasheni Nikro Velo Metargim. But the second time, now, Bosa, what's the second story? That's when Aaron relates it to Moshe. That's called the Maisa Egel Hasheni. That's called the second episode of the Egel that is read but is not translated. Read and not translated. Interestingly enough, we'll see later on that when Aaron goes ahead and tells it over to Moshe, he adds in a very interesting piece. He says, "We threw the gold into the fire." Vayetzi ha'egel hazeh. So if you translate that, people could literally think that what? That mamish, the egel had a power of its own to birth itself out of the fire. So you see the common denominator here is, essentially, we don't translate things that will leave people with an erroneous impression. Again, we'll teach it to them when there's more time, but at the time of Kriyas HaTorah, you don't have time to go into too much explanations. Next, Birkas Kohanim, Umaisa David Va'amnon, Nikroin Velometargamin. Birkas Kohanim, so the bracha of the Kohanim, and we'll see exactly why that's brought up. Maisa David Va'amnon, the episode of David, and we'll say the episode of David and Amnon is really the episode of Amnon and Tamar, right? That again, that's where Amnon rapes his half-sister. It's his half-sister Tamar. So again, those stories, Nikra and Veloma Targumen. We can read it, but we don't translate it. Ein Maftirin B'Merkava. We do not go ahead and read the Maisa Merkava as after. We spoke about the Maisa Merkava in yesterday's daf, where again, Maisa Merkava is the episode in Yechezkel that speaks about, again, the prophetic vision of Yechezkel that has many esoteric details. We don't read it as the Haftorah because we assume that Maisa Merkava is too esoteric. Rabbi Huda says we can. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Ein Maftirin B'Hodes Yerushalayim. We do not go ahead and read Hodes Yerushalayim. Hodes Yerushalayim is a section from Yechezkel. We do not read that as Av Torah. Why not? Rashi says, Hodes Yerushalayim es Ta'avosel. Because Yechezkel is talking about over here, that what? Speaking about Jerusalem and all of its Ta'avos, all of its abominations. So we do not read about Yerushalayim in less than a positive light. So we, therefore, again, we don't use it as Av Torah. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon, Yesh Nikranu Metargamin. There are some things that are read and translated. V'yesh nikrin v'lo metargamin, and there are some things that are read but are not translated. V'yesh lo nikrin v'lo metargamin, and there are some things that are not read and not translated. Elu nikrin metargamin. These are the things that are read and translated, and the Gemara just gives a mnemonic to remember it. Blat akan nashba. Plata kanapsho, nashpa. So now we're going to go through each of them. Bereshis, so that's the base. Bereshis, nikro metargim. You could read the episode of Bereshis, and you could read it and translate it. So Gemara says, Peshita, okay, what's the chiddush in that? Maladitim, what would you have thought? Let's go, so this is amazing. Asu l'shaluye malamata. Because again, if you start reading the creation account, what's going to happen? People are going to start asking all kinds of questions. What really exists above? What really exists below? Ma lifnim u'ma la'achor? What was before the world? What will be after the world? And the truth is, Rabbi Yossi, what's the common denominator of all these questions? We don't have good answers. We don't have good answers. So sometimes we're hesitant. It's actually an interesting, in general, like Judaic approach question about how much do you try to tackle issues for which you really don't have a concrete answer about. You know where this comes up? This comes up, again, is in Machlokis, major Machlokis in the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva discusses, again, the concept of Bechira. And essentially, he says, how could it be that a person could really do Tshuva if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what I'm going to do? How could I really do Tshuva? So to which the Rambam says, because in essence, we don't understand what it means that God has foreknowledge. We don't understand what it means to have divine foreknowledge. So the Ravid jumps on the Rambam. The Ravid says, Rambam, what are you doing? Why do you bring up an issue? Why do you bring up issue if you don't have a good answer for it? And what would the Rambam answer that? The Rambam would answer because sometimes the beauty of Judaism is we're not afraid to discuss questions for which we don't have answers. We're not afraid. It's okay. I could say I don't understand. I could say I don't know. And I'm still okay with bringing up the question, even though I don't have a sufficient answer. So I might have thought that perhaps we shouldn't translate Ma'aseh Bereishis because it's going to spark a whole bunch of questions about what's above, what's below, what's before, what's after. Kamash Malon. It may spark the questions. We may have to say we don't know. But that's okay. Next, Ma'aseh Lot u'Shnei Benos Nikru Metargim. The episode of Lot and his two daughters, remember again, is after the destruction of stone, and Lot sleeps with both of his daughters on consecutive nights, impregnates both of them. You could read that story and translate it. Pshita, that's obvious. I might have thought that out of kavod to Avram Avinu, perhaps again we shouldn't read it. Remember, Lot is his nephew. Perhaps out of kavod to Avram Avinu, we should not go ahead and read this story. Kamash Malon, no, we read it. Ma'aseh Tamar v'Yehuda Nikra u'Metargim. The episode of Tamar and Yehuda is read and translated. So Pshita, that's obvious. What would I have thought? Leichosh l'chvod l'Yehuda, the Yehuda. I might have thought that, look, maybe we shouldn't translate it because after all, the story has Yehuda going to a harlot. So maybe we should not translate it. To which the Gemara says, no. Shvachehu. In fact, the story is a praise to Yehuda. Why? The Odi. Because it will say, what did Yehuda... I'm sorry? Right, because Yehuda admits, the Odi means literally he admits, meaning that Rabbi Yossi, I remember again at the episode where Tamar is about to be killed for her lap, what they perceive as her lapse in morality. So Yehuda goes ahead and admits that again, he is the father of the child. So because again, Yehuda had the courage to go ahead and admit, therefore again, the entire story is a credit to Yehuda. Ma'aseh Egel HaRishon Nikra Metargim. The first, remember again, the Ma'aseh Egel HaRishon means that when the actual Egel occurred, the narrative of the actual Egel is read and translated. Pshita, that's obvious. Ma'altemo, what would I have thought? Leichosh Lechvoldin Shei Yisrael. I might have thought that perhaps you shouldn't translate it. Why? And I've covered the Klal Yisrael. Kamash Malon, Kol Shekin Denecha Luhu. The Havi Luhu Kapara. Rabbi said, listen to this. No, in fact, it is good. You know why it's a kapara? How is it a kapara? Because to read this story is so embarrassing. To read the story is so humiliating that the humiliation and embarrassment we feel after reading this story and realizing what our ancestors did, that is part and parcel of our kapara, part and parcel of our atonement. Klalos u'brachos nikrin u'metargamin. So klalos and brachos, the curses and the blessings in the Torah, we can go ahead and what? We can go ahead and read it and translate it. So Moses says, Peshita, that's obvious. Ma'odetem, what would I have thought? Nechosh dilma paigi datayu de tzibura. I might have thought that what? That lemaisa, maybe the tzibura will become downtrodden when they hear about all of these curses. Rashi says, Yachlosh daiton kishayishmu shein ne'enshin. People will get down when they hear that they're punished. V'yom rutov lehanos mina olam hazeh. Bechor utzorin ho'op esofein alanosh. People might say, you know what? If we're going to get patched anyway, I might as well have a good time, right? I might as well enjoy myself here if I'm going to get patched anyway. Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon, we give people more credit than that. And even though they hear the punishments, they also know that there's also brachas, and there are pathways to redemption. As haros va'onshin nikranu mitagamin, literally warnings and punishments are read. as well as translating. Pshita, that's obvious. What would I have thought? Nechosh tilma asu lemi avid miira. Bosse is so fascinating. I might have thought that maybe I shouldn't read all about the punishments and all about the warnings, because if I do that, when people serve Hashem, they'll be serving God out of what? Out of yira, out of fear, and not out of av, and not out of love. Kamash malono, kamash on that, we're not choshesh for that. Maisa amnon v'tamar nikra umetargen. Actually, can I ask you a favor? Can you give me a cup of water? Thank you, I'm sorry. Maisa amnon v'tamar nikra umetargen. So what happens? The episode of Amnon and Tamar is read and translated. Maisa av shalom nikra umetargen. And I will say, when they talk about the Maisa of Shalom over here, this is not just a rebellion. Av shalom, when he rebelled, we actually started this in Shabbos afternoon. When Avshalom rebelled against his father, one of the major things he did is he violated each of his father's concubines, and he actually did it publicly as well. See, he violated his father's concubines. So again, that's read and translated. Pshita, that's obvious, meaning why not? What would I have thought? Lechosh the Kari to David. I might have thought maybe, again, reading these things is actually a lack of covet to David HaMelech. Kamash malono, maise pilegesh begiva, nikro metagin. I also remember pilegesh begiva is the episode of the man who sent his concubine out of his house, and she was abused by the men of Binyamin the entire night, and she dies at the doorstep of her husband the next morning. So that episode is read and translated. Pshita, that's obvious. What would I have thought? I might have thought, thank you very much, thank you. Thank you, Hashim. Second wide line. So I might have thought that we shouldn't translate Pilegesh Begiva because of the covet of Shevet Binyamin, because again, this was a terrible transgression by their tribe. Kamash Malano. So remember, what the Gemara is saying over here is sometimes there's a need to highlight transgression. So sometimes it's for the purpose of embarrassing, because that embarrassment is a kapara. And sometimes it's also important to remember the misdeeds of the past. So you're almost saying, you know, Klal Gadol always is. Sometimes people say, I'm not susceptible to that avera. I can never fall prey to that mistake. You know, the Mishnah of it says, "Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom osecha." Don't believe in yourself until the day that you die. Right? A person is never. It's very important. You sowed in life. Never think that anything is beyond you. No matter how secure you feel in your inherent goodness. So very important. Even this idea of pilegesh begiva, we have to read this. Why? Because lest you think that Klal Yisrael is not able to stoop to some of the lowest levels. Here is an episode of pilegesh begiva again, where Klal Yisrael, where Shevet Binyamin, went ahead and did something so terribly immoral. Hold this Yerushalayim v'estavoseha nikramatargim. And most according to this opinion over here, the section in Navi, the section in Navi from Yechezkel, of Holdes Yushalayim, literally make known to Jerusalem all of its abominations, is read and translated. So when it says Pshita, so what's the Chiddush? Lafuki med Rabbi Elazar, Eliezer. This is to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Desanya, Bosa, listen to this. Ma'aseh ba'adam echad shoy kori l'mal Rabbi Eliezer, holdas Yerushalayim es tov oseh. Bosa, listen to this. So there was once an episode where someone who was literally above Rabbi Eliezer, physically above him, whether it means he was on an upper story or he was sitting higher in shul, whatever it is, he was above him. And he was reading this section of holdas Yerushalayim, which speaks about, again, the downfalls and the abominations of Jerusalem. So what happened? Amar lo, Rabbi Eliezer says to the guy, Ad sha'ata bodek b'to'evos Yerushalayim. Before you speak about the abominations of Jerusalem, do me a favor. Tse ubadok b'tovos imecha. Why don't you go ahead and check out the abominations of your mother? Yeah, so like I said, I'm not recommending this, you know, but okay. Yeah, I guess so. We had everything first. We did have everything first. So the Gemara says, what happened? Badku acharav. They went ahead and sure enough, they checked into this individual's yichus umatza bo shemetz pasul, and they found some psul. They found something wrong in his genealogy. What exactly it was, whether it means that his mother did something or something in past generations. Okay, the elu nikrin velo metargimin, and these things are read but are not translated. And again, he gives Ra'av Dan Simon. Maser Ruvain Nikra Velomatargim. The episode of Ruvain, again, remember where he switched, where the Torah says that he slept with Bilha. So we read that, but we do not translate it. Umaser Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Shahalach le Kabul. This is Kabul. This is Kabul, right? K-U-B-K-A-B-U-L. Kabul. Right? This is amazing. So here you have Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, who went to Kabul. I understand, even to this day, it's just They just blew up a kever. ISIS just blew up a kever in whose was it? Of Yonah. You know, again, the kever of Mordechai and Esther is there. The kvarim of Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah. It's amazing. It's amazing. What? So here you have Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel going to Kabul. It's amazing. Vayakori Chazan HaKnesses, and what happens is a shul in Kabul, young Israel of Kabul, and what happens? The Chazan HaKnesses, the Chazan is reading, Vayhi Bishkon Yisrael. So what happened? Now again, so this pasuk is Vayhi Bishkon Yisrael be'eretz ahi, Vayelech Ruven, Vayishka Vespilo HaPilagesh Aviv. So he comes into shul, and they're reading this pasuk. Va'amr lo lemeturgaman, al titargim ela acharon. And Rabbi Hanina said to the Turgaman, do me a favor, only translate the last part of the pasuk. Now, the last part of the pasuk is Vayishma Yisrael, or the last part of the pasuk is Vayhu b'nei Yaakov shnei masar. The sons of Yaakov Avinu were 12. So Rabbi Hanina instructs the Torgama not to translate the first part of the pasuk, only the last part of the pasuk. Eza maise egel asheni. Rabbi say, now remember again, the Mishnah said that we translate, we read and we translate the egel rishon, but not egel sheni. What is egel sheni? What's the second egel? Min Vayomer Moshe ad Vayar Moshe. So Bosa again. So it's Vayomer Moshe, which begins. That's when Moshe Benu asks Aaron, "What happened here?" Aaron tells the entire story, his narrative, and again that narrative ends with Vayar Moshe Sa'am Ki Parohu. Moshe saw that the people literally were Paroa means divested of their kedusha. So what happens? So Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, "Li Olam Yehi Adam Zar B'Tshuvosav." Well, says very interesting. A person should always be careful with the way he responds to a question. Shemitoch Teshuva Sheheshivu Aaron LaMoshe, because of an answer that Aaron gave to Moshe, Pokru Hamaarim. Literally, they will say Maarim could either mean the complainers or the divisive ones. The individuals who are looking for problems found an opening. Shne'emar va'ashlicheyu ba'ish va'yetzei ha'egel hazeh. What the Gemara is pointing out over here is the following. Aaron was not careful enough with his words. Because the way Aaron makes it sound is what? That they put the gold in the fire and the egel came dancing out. I will say it's true that according to the there is a medrash like that. That again, they made the egel came dancing out on its own. Whatever it is with the tas, with the metal plate that said Ale Shur, whatever it is. But Pshuto Shemikra is not like that. Pshuto Shemikra, simple Pshan the Pasuk is they threw in the gold. Aaron fashioned the gold and they made an egel. But because Aaron was not careful with his words, he gave an opening for those who are looking to chip away at the authenticity of God or the oneness of God, because they can say, oh, what do you see from here? That the eagle has its own independent powers, because look, it jumped out of the fire itself. It's such an important yisod, and it's one of the most difficult things in life. You know, when you say something, so we often assume that as long as I have good intentions when I say it, it's enough. It's not true. When you say something, you literally almost have to try to think how others are going to perceive the words that you're saying. Because I could be saying something absolutely correct, but if others can misunderstand it or misinterpret it, then the truth is that halacha is that one should not say it. Berkas konim nikron v'lo matargim. So berkas konim is read but not translated. My time, what's the reason? Mishum dechsev yisa. Because it says yisa. Look at Rashi Rabosai. Mishum yisa. Shelo yom ru hakadosh baruch hu no se lahem panim. The Einon Yodim Shekedai Hein Yisrael Allah says Lahem Panim. So here's the interesting part that when it says Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha makes it sound like God only favors the Jewish people to the exclusion of everyone else. And the Bible says this is not true. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the God of all humanity. We have a special relationship with that Kodesh Baruch Hu, a unique bond with God, but He does not favor us necessarily to the exclusion of the nations of the world. So to go ahead and make that statement is at least an erroneous conclusion. Ma'isa David Ve'Amnon Lo Nikra V'Lo Matargamin. The episode of David and Amnon is not read and not translated. I vaha amrit, but we said before, masa amnon matamar nikro matargim. So which one is it? Now we're saying, you're telling me that you don't read it, you don't translate it, but here you're telling me that's what? That, but you said before that you read it but you, and you translate it. So which one is it? Lokasha, hadichsev Amnon ben David, hadichsev Amnon stama. Interestingly enough, when he's referred to as Amnon ben David, that we do not translate. We'll read it, but we won't translate it. Why? Because that directly links Amnon, perverse Amnon, with David HaMelech, which again impugns on the covet of David. But when he just says Amnon stam, so that we could read and translate. Fine. Tana Abanam. It's actually very interesting. There are certain psukim that are written in the Torah that are written in a more like what's the right word? In a harsh fashion, almost like a little bit of like what? Like not almost like almost, I don't want to say disgusting because it's totally, you can't say that, but disparaging, or it's okay, we'll just do the examples. So the Gemara says certain words that are written a little bit harsher. It really is disgusting, but I don't want to use that word by Torah. Distasteful. Good. Do I like have to give you a retainer for that or something? That's good. All right. So there are certain things that are written in a more distasteful fashion. Thank you. But again, when we read them in Tzibur, we clean them up a little bit. So for example, the Gemara says Kigon Yishgalena Yishgavena. So remember again, Abosai, this is talking about over here, the Omerla, this is talking about over here, the Pasuk in Dvarim, by the Tochacha, Isha ta'aris, the Ish achar yishkavena. So the way it's written is yishkalena. And Abosai, they both mean that a man will betroth the woman and she'll be violated by another man. But the word yishkalena is just a stronger word for that act. Therefore, we don't read it as yishkalena, we read it as yishkavena. Ba'afolim bat'chorim. Abosai, ba'afolim literally means hemorrhoids, right? So again, instead of using a more distasteful word, we use a better word, bat'chorim. Again, this would obviously mean more to us if we were a little bit more versed in Lashon HaKodesh. Cheryonim divyonim. Rashi says, cheryonim chari lashon re'i. Means excrement. So instead of saying cheryonim, read divyonim. Bless you. Le'echol es chorehem. Belishtos es meimei shinehem. So we'll say again, here he's quoting the Pasuk. Quoting the Pasuk from Melachim. And literally it says, it's speaking about the punishment for a certain group of people. Le'echol tzatz. Literally, le'echol chorehem. It means literally, tit chorehem means their holes. Velishtos es meimei shinehem. And to drink literally the waters of their teeth. And I will say this, what this is referring to is the eating of excrement and the drinking of urine. So when we read this, we change it around a little bit. Le'echol tzavosam velishtos es meimei raglehem. Lemach ra'os ulemot so'os. So here the Pasuk is talking about over here, again in Malachim. Vayitzu es matzvas ha'baal. They went ahead and they destroyed the altar of the Baal. Vayitzu es beis ha'baal. Vayesimu lemot so'os. Lemot so'os ad hayom. So instead of reading it again, we read it as lemach ra'os instead of lemotzos. If you look at Rashi, lemach ra'os. Malachim. Kichur lashon motzerei. So again, moch ra'os literally... I'm going to take away the answer from you. I'm going to take it away. Hey, so again, Lemech Ra'os, again, also is, I know what the translation is. Thank you. Some people are going to have to be accompanied by an adult when they come to the shul from now on. So Lemech Ra'os, Lemot Sa'os. So again, Ravosai, these are all, the Lashonos over here are all the same. They all refer actually, again, to the anus, to excrement, to all kinds of things. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that Lemaisa, whenever we're reading this in Sibor, we just try to clean it up a little bit. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Lemech Ra'os Kishman, Mepnei Shu Gnai Avodos Kochavim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, no. We actually read the word Lemech Ra'os and not Lemot Sa'os. Why? Because that's referring to idolatry. And by idolatry, we actually like to use the most distasteful words possible. Amar Rav Nachman, Kol Etzinusa Asura. I will say it's important. Yesod. All Etzanus, all silliness, is generally Asur. Bar, meaning, what does that mean? Is we don't make fun of things. It's not what we do, really. We just don't make fun of things. Except, Bar, Miletzinus Davodos Kochavim. Dishari. The one thing we can do, as Rabbi says, we can disparage idolatry. So in general, we don't disparage things, but I can disparage idolatry. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, again, it's quoting over here now, the Pasuk from Yeshaya, Kara Baal, Karas Nevo. Literally, Rabbi says, means Kara Baal. If you look at Rashi over here, he says, no Rashi yet. Kara Baal, which literally means he squatted Baal, Karam Nevo, and Keres Nevo, literally the splashing takes place. It's a reference over here to the idol relieving itself. So normally we wouldn't talk about these kind of things, but again, when referring to an idol, we refer to the idol squatting and defecating, and we refer to the idol ultimately splashing with its urine. Ksiv, Karso Kra Yachtov, Lo Yachlu Malat Maso. Rabbiana Armahak, Rabbiana, so we'll say they're just giving different examples how normally we stay away from Leitzanos, but when it comes to Avodah Zarah, we do use certain disparaging, distasteful Lashonos. Rabbiana says from here again, he's quoting the Pasuk from Hosea. The Pasuk says, Le'eglos Beis Oven, from the literally the agolos, the eglos, excuse me, the calves of Beis Aven, Yaguru Shechan Shomron, Ki Aval Alav Amo, Ukimarav Alav Yagilu, Al Kvoda, Ki Galami Menu. Okay, so the Gemara says, Al Tikri Kvodo, don't read it Kvodo, Ella Kvedo, which again is another reference to relieving oneself through defecation. So the idea over here is you just see the multiple defecation references and bodily excrement references by idolatry. Things that we would not normally say because we like to clean things up. By idolatry, we go out and we say it. Am Rav Huna bar Manoach, Mishmei Drav Acha, Berei Drav Ika, Shorlei Lebar Yisrael, Lemeimar Lei Leoved Kochavim. We'll say it's actually very interesting. So a person is permitted to go ahead and say to an idolater, Shaklei Leavodos Kochavim, take your idol, Va'anche b'shin tov shalo, and put it in your shin tov. And I will say again. So the Marsha says. So the Marsha says shin tov means one's backside. Okay. So we're seeing again. We have a lot of firsts, as you can see again. So one could tell an idolater to take your idol and put it in your shin tov. So it'll be an inside dafyomi joke. All right. So all right. Yes. All right. I'm gonna write that off to the lateness of the hour. Vishintav. Amravashi Haiman Disani Shomane Shari Le Levazuye Bigimo Vishin. We'll say look at Rashi. Rashi says Disani Shomane Shiyotos Alav Shmos Ros if somebody has a reputation as being an immoral individual, specifically somebody has a reputation as being an adulterer, and again, we're not talking about just the rumor, but we're talking about an individual, again, who is known to exhibit this type of immoral behavior, you are permitted to go ahead and literally, you're permitted to degrade him with Gimel Shin. What's Gimel Shin? Rashi says, Bargirta, Zonashma, Sarie, Sham, Shem Musrach, Kachu, Bichuvas Agaonim, Mutu Levazos, Games, Imo, Sheyelarito. Verabosai, Mefarshim, Giufa, Shaite, Shatye. So we'll say Gimel Shin literally means Bargirta. Bargirta Zona, you are permitted to call his mother names. And we'll say, you're allowed to say that he is the son of a Zona. I don't need any interpretation of that, right? Right? You're allowed to say that he's the son of a Zona. The idea over here is that if somebody has such a terrible reputation, which again, Rabosai, is rooted in reality that you know about, you are permitted to call a person out on that negative behavior. Haiman de Shapir Shumane. So too, again, Rabosai, if somebody has a very good reputation, then what? Shari le Shabuche. You are permitted to go ahead and praise them. Now, I will say, now, why do I have to say that you're permitted to praise someone? Because remember, again, praising someone is always... Now, we're talking about over here, lav dafka, praising a person to their face, but praising a person to others. So praising a person to others is always a dangerous predicament. Why? Because you never know what can of worms you're going to open up, right? You start talking about Reuven, he's a great guy. Oh, really? Right, really? Do you know about this, this, and this? So therefore, in general, when it comes to praise, we're careful with how much we praise an individual. Again, to your face, we should praise each other all the time. But to others, one should always be careful. Uman shabche, and what bracha should you give an individual? Yanuchulo brachos al rosho. Rabbi will say, if you want to give somebody the ultimate shevach, you want to give somebody the ultimate praise, you simply tell them, Yanuchulo brachos al rosho. You say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you brachos upon your head. Hadron Allah HaKore es HaMegillah Omeid.
I think the terminology you